This is Notepad. I'm your host, Ibrahim Sani. Well, now that we have approached towards the end of the year, and now that we're embracing the endemicity element of COVID-19, we have to ask ourselves first on how we need to manage our funds, how we're managing our investments, and of course, how we're managing our retirement. Throughout the year, we've seen how Malaysians in particular have used up all of our savings, some of our savings, or at least partial of it, on trying to get by. These past 2 years has not been easy. So because of this, we need to understand better, in fact, on how we can move ahead on getting things back to balance. So joining us for this show is Laurent Bertrand, the CEO and co-founder of Better Trade-Off. Laurent, maybe we can start off with why do you feel that people's struggles are right now, you know, very hard to meet their retirement goals, despite having more digital financial tools right now at their disposal?
Very good question. Thanks for having me here today, Ibrahim. And you're right. There is more tool today available to everybody, and yet a lot of people feel that they're struggling with retirement. And it boils down to a few things, and very simple to understand. One, there's a lot of information around, but not always very clear which one is relevant for me and how do I apply it. You know, it's kind of lost in the jungle where so many trees around and I don't know which one I should look for to help me. So that's the first thing. I think the second thing, and it's related, is clarity. A lot of tools are either too simple to be really relevant because they might guide you, but they don't answer the question is what is it for me? What do I need personally? The other side is some of the tools are so complex that fundamentally you need to be an expert to understand how to use them. So at the end of the day, you go back to what you have, your friends, your colleagues, sometimes a professional you trust to get an answer, but it's still not easy to know if you can trust it. And so the easy solution for many is I can wait. I can wait for retirement. So though you have the mandatory mechanism in place, but for a lot of people, it can be quite stressful to consider how much do I need, what can I do, and the likes. And that's where our company come into the place. We have a solution that is used by bank, by insurance, in Malaysia, in Singapore, by advisor in different countries. We're trying to make this available to as many as possible so now they can have access to sound financial planning, which is personally relevant for you. And so I think that at the heart of it, for a lot of people, being ready for retirement is to first understand how much you need, and everybody's life is different and condition and obligation and liability and lifestyle. And second, what can I do about it? And that's the part where if you don't know where you go, it's very difficult to have the right path in the first place. And then once you have the map to go there, which is a plan, then you need to execute it. And that's where we work with partners to make sure that people take action. At the end of the day, when you look at the statistic, when you look at the numbers, and we have visibility across the board, a lot of people are still underinvested and underprotected. That doesn't mean they might not be able to do it for retirement. It just means that they don't live the best life they could with the financial means they have.
Do you feel that is it enough to rely on digital financial tools in keeping track of financial goals?
So I think at the end of the day, yes, you could, because professionals are using those tools to do it. But I would say complexity is kind of the enemy of action. When things become so complex, you come to a point where you have analysis paralysis, what should I do? So what we observe is for many people, it's quite reassuring to be able to play with those tools, to explore their option, to in your own time, look and play with the scenarios, because all of us have ideas on what we want. We also want to know when things don't go so well, what would it mean for me and my family. But what it should not be is to say, oh, I only do things digitally and then I don't use the help of a professional. And similarly, it's not because you see a professional that you're only going to rely on their advice. Most of us, when you see a doctor, for example, nowadays, you're going to go on the internet, check what that is mean, look at what are the different conditions, what is the state of research. I think finance is the same. It's just way, way more complicated because there are so many opinions. So if you look at the digital tools that you have today, first thing first is, are they sufficient? Okay, so there's a lot of calculator going around. And I think they're great because they give you a first answer, but unfortunately, they're often not sufficient. If you take retirement, for example, which you mentioned, if you still have to pay rent during retirement, or if you already pay your mortgage and your house is totally paid, it's going to be very different. You're probably going to end up having to need twice as much money if you're still renting during retirement than if you don't have to pay a rental. That alone is a good example of when we do financial planning, it has to be all of your life, not just one element by one element. So, and this is the first part. Make sure your tools are holistic, are complete, and really represent your life. You cannot ignore the fact that we have tax. You cannot ignore the fact that Social Security or CPF in Singapore, EPF in Malaysia is going to be there. But is it going to be sufficient? And you need to take all of this in consideration. The second thing is we're talking about long-term decision. So while you might take action today, and those small steps are very important to make a difference, and this is why a solution digitally can help you to see it for yourself, most of us still need guidance, reassurance, and a bit like a coach, you know, when you do sport, the idea is to have someone guiding you so you don't do the wrong movement, helping you to choose which series of exercise fit for your goals and what you have. And that's really where you combine both. Then it becomes the best of both worlds. You don't waste time with anybody. You can see for yourself. You can check that everything which is said is really what you need. On the other side, for a professional, it really helps to engage a conversation naturally, but also across all the different elements we have to take into consideration, because if you only take one, in general, it's not sufficient.
Yeah, Laurent, as I premised just now, people are dipping into their savings in Malaysia, in EPF. We've had Aisina, and you know, some of us don't even have 10,000 ringgit in our savings. And because of this, there's a lot of talk into how a retirement crisis is therefore imminent for Malaysia to face 5, 10, 15 years from now. In your opinion, how do you think we can avoid this doom and gloom notion of an impending retirement crisis?
So you're talking about emergency situation, and COVID has created a lot of emergency situation. And dipping on the saving is probably the mildest one. We have seen people losing their job and not finding new ones, people losing their life, and they were the breadwinner. And I just want to highlight one thing. Retirement is an opportunity for all of us to live our life in the golden age, in our golden years, really the way we envision it, with the freedom to do what we want and we love. Doesn't mean you have to stop working. But when you have an emergency, you take care of the emergency first, because if you don't survive now, you're in trouble. So I do think that for a lot of people, if you have to do it, and don't feel guilty about it, because at the end of the day, you need to do something which is really an emergency. And that's why we always, in the solution, for example, make sure that emergency funds are there for you. Is it 6 months, 12 months, 24 months? It really depends. But it's really about, let's simulate what's going on if I lose my job. Maybe it takes time to find this job. How is my situation? So that's the first thing. The second thing, what you mentioned, is you're right. Action you take today, or non-action you take today, are going to have a long-term impact. But you talk about saving, and I think this is one of the things where we're saying it really depends on your risk tolerance. Some people are very allergic. I cannot lose my hard-earned money. But the reality is, if you invest, if you're in the market for the long term, and I mean really long term, we're not talking 5 years here, we talk about 20 or 30 years. And this is a time where you're going to continue retiring. So most of us have this kind of time horizon, or even more, especially if you start early. Then you have an opportunity not just to save more, to compensate for the money you didn't use, you didn't put aside now, but most importantly, start investing for the long term. And I think this is a part where a lot of us professionals, when you see it, and I used to be on the banking side, on wealth management, helping wealthy people manage their wealth, what you notice is this ability to see long term and understand that your action today or non-action today will have long-term impact is probably the most important. So the bad news is, yes, if you use your saving now, there will be less for retirement. Now, you need to compensate. How much is really a good question, and that's where the digital tool helps you with that. But I think the most important, what I see, is most people are still underinvested. They kind of join the market when it starts to be really peaking, and we hear good news, and I don't want to miss out. But the reality is, this is a day-to-day, this is a month-by-month where you put your saving and invest them regularly, that you build your wealth, and where you literally ensure that at retirement, you not only have what you need, but can afford a better life. And that, in my view, is probably the biggest problem, not the saving rate, that people have.
Because of this, you know, there's some talks on how people are saying, you know, we got to do some, I don't know how to say it, revenge savings or something like that, you know, where you double up your savings in order to keep up with what you took over the past 2 years. Do you feel that this is a right term to use, or do you feel that there's something better to better illustrate this whole notion? But of course, how do we move ahead from this?
I like the term a lot. And you know what? One of the things we realize is that all of us, we are not a rational machine. We are not this computer who do things very well. So in general, what we advise and what we see working, and that's probably the kind of building the habit. You have probably heard about paying yourself first. So you receive your paycheck, first thing you do, oh, I save and invest in the different buckets. It can be retirement, education for my kids, putting aside monies because I have a project of starting my own company, whatever you're trying to do, or the down payment for your house because finally I want to buy a property so that I don't have to pay a rental. It is mine, it's my dream to give it to my kids, all of those things. I do believe that having this discipline is not easy, and that's why anything you can do to automate it probably going to help. The second element, what you discuss, is using this psychology to our benefits. So there's a lot of reason why we do things because it's instant gratification and so on and so forth. And you can use it also to help you achieve your goals. So you can motivate yourself to drive those things. So my view on this one is very simple. If you have revenge saving and that helps you to save more, fantastic. What you should be careful is that after that, you don't lose the discipline of still investing regularly for your future. And there are ways of doing it. You can, I think the biggest contribution to wealth when we look at the statistics for many people is still property. And there's a few reasons. One, you get leverage. It means you buy the property, let's say 1 million and get for the sake, and you have a mortgage. So you didn't put all the price up front. You were able to buy a bigger things with lower money, but then you have to pay a mortgage over many, many years. That means you have the discipline, because if you stop paying the mortgage, of course, the bank will repossess your property at some point, and it's not a pleasant effect. So you're forced saving in a sense. And that's usually, so this combination of inflation protection from the property market, the fact that you buy with a mortgage, so you don't pay all of it in one go, you pay over time, that allow you to buy more. And the fact you're forced to pay is probably one of the explanations. The other explanation is, if you want to automate, if you have ways of using your salary and so on and so forth early, it's nice, but it could also be a life insurance. So it's not always the best product for everyone. But as you know, you're going to do it for the next 15 years because what you're trying to do is achieve a long-term security, both financially and against the event of life, like it could be early death, it could be a critical disease, and a very dreadful events, which unfortunately, as COVID has shown, can happen. Because you have it, and because if you don't continue paying, then the value is much less, because this is a long-term commitment and emphasize long-term commitment, it also helps some people to have this discipline to set aside every month to make sure that their future is covered. So I think psychology is not wrong. Use it at your advantage. If you have this kind of urge, go for it, but be careful not that it becomes an excuse not to do something after, because that the long-term part, this kind of discipline is going to bring you way further. You don't need to be super smart to invest. What you need is to have the discipline to do it over the long term, and that wins the race.
All right, we'll go for one short break before we continue on our conversation with Better Trade-Off. Welcome back. This is Notepad. I have Laurent Bertrand, the CEO and co-founder of Better Trade-Off. Laurent, before we went for the break just now, you were talking about a lot of elements where it's already entering human psychology or behavior modulation. It's not just about financial planning any longer, in my opinion. So do you feel that there is a need for us to talk more about how we need to tap into the inner side of ourselves and see how we can improve on the discipline of savings, or just the consistency of doing something over the long run?
So it's, and you're right, it's human psychology, and that's something we have put a lot of time, we spend time when we develop the solution to put that at the core of what we do. First, make it simple. Psychologically, if it's complicated, guess what? It's difficult to execute, and therefore I dread around it. The second part you mentioned, financial planning and psychology are different. They are not. There's a strong element of psychology in financial planning, which is you can visualize what the future looks like. You can visualize a different scenario and get yourself reassured. It's okay. I can afford it. You know, if something happened to me, I have the insurance to cover me, and that's fine. I should be okay. So I can afford to do it, which is for many people, we all know we need to do something. And it's not just retirement, education, property, travel, your ambition. I want to work half time because my kids are going to grow and I want to spend more time with them. Can I afford it? So all those questions, all those goals are legitimate. The question is, can I afford it? And guess what? What if things happen? And it could be positive things also, by the way. So it's not just negative. So building an image of the future, which is really personally engaging, is what you do, does help to then take the decision. And if you make it simple and convincing enough, that's much easier to do the first step. Because you know what? A long journey starts with the first step and then the next one and then the next one. But if you don't start the first step, there won't be a second and a third one. The last part, and I think this is one of the things we observe through the deployment we have done with Zurich in Malaysia, with Standard Chartered in Singapore, or the advisor and others, what we see is people come back to their plan because your life change, your priorities change, the market change, the rules change, and it's always good to keep this document alive. A financial plan, and in fact, taking financial decisions should not be a one-stop affair, and then I do it and I never revisit it. No, what needs to happen is to acknowledge that things change, the world change, your priorities change, and you can and you should adjust it. And this kind of continuously revisiting this plan, not every day, obviously, will help you to keep it fresh and to make sure that it's personal and you can see the progress. And that's one of the satisfying parts where you see the progress happening through your finance and say, hey, this journey is going well. I'm on track. And even if it's a beginning or if I'm in the middle of this or at the end because I've been very diligent, it's always good to have your map and feel you're on track. There's this sense of achievement. So the way I would summarize it, the solution we have done, take care of all the complexities that you must take care to be accurate, to know what's going on, to really take into account all the elements of your life because it's your life. And we provide those results, those mathematical results, into an environment which is ours, also one of our clients, so that you as a user can have the confidence to act and I would say the motivation to do it.
All right, we'll go for one more short break before we continue on our conversation with Laurent Berton on Better Trade-Off. Welcome back. This is Notepad. I have with me Laurent Berton dialing in from Singapore. Laurent, digital financial tools and professional advice is one and the same, or sometimes being seen as a complete package. How do we marry both such that individuals only using digital financial tools can better meet their financial goals?
So, if you are someone who prefers to have a purely digital experience, it's okay. First thing first. Every preference exists in the market, and I think that's one of the beauty of what digital tools allow you is to have the flexibility to do one, the other, or both. When we started our solution, we recognized one thing. The real difficulty for many is that we procrastinate. We know we need to do something. I get some extra money. Now I'm going to do something about it. Is it enough? I don't know. And should I do that systematically? Probably. But the reality is for a lot of people, they are lost. So when you go digital, you can use a tool like ours or other tools. We're not saying we're the only one, but use a tool. Try to see what you need to do. Try to see what's your situation, what you want to achieve, and how you can achieve it. But I do think that most people, when we look at the situation, they want a combination. They might want to start with a tool like ours and explore what their situation and understand how retiring later is helping them or not, how early they can retire if they do things right. But in most cases, and sometimes from a regulatory aspect, they still need a professional help. So not all product can be bought without professional help, and there's a good reason for it, because there's a lot of technicity around those products, and you want to make sure as a regulator that people buy the right product. So having professional help is mandatory. But also for most cases, what we observe is we tend to talk to our friends, to our family, to our colleagues, people who know someone, because we want reassurance, we want explanation that we can understand. And so our view of the world is it's not a simple calculator, it's not a super complex solution by a professional that you don't really understand, it's not funny, it's both. Use a digital, but also don't shy away from contacting a professional, even if it's the first time you have done it, because now the difference is when you go in that conversation, we have the tool to understand what the advisor is talking about, but also to check for yourself that what they say is what really works for you. And for the advisor, it makes also the whole conversation much easier. And it's easier also for them to understand you. Because you can imagine that if I have to take into account all the different elements to build your financial plan, that can be a lot of discussion. And a lot of people might not feel very comfortable disclosing that to an advisor, because how is it helping me to get a better advice? Is this person trying to sell me only a product? At the end of the day, you need to take action. So usually you buy a product, you invest into a solution, you buy an insurance to protect your family and your loved one. But before that, it's getting this conviction case. So my recommendation for people is do use the tools which are on the market, including ours, Zurich in Malaysia, as My Zurich Life. You can go there. In Singapore, if you're a client of Standard Chartered, or some of the advisory fees, the top advisory firm makes the tool available to their client and people who would like to be their client. But you don't have to stop there. And I still believe that there's a huge role for a financial advisor to provide this coaching, guidance, advice, financial advice, which is tailored to your need. And they have the experience to guide you. It's just that it's not either or. We think that both is working. And we think that most people, unfortunately, don't benefit from those professional advice enough today.
And of course, Better Trade-Off has recently partnered with Zurich Malaysia and Standard Chartered Bank to simplify financial planning for your customers and trying to get better solutions. Talk to us a bit about this. And what other work does BTO do in Malaysia, or at least in this part of the region?
Sure. So those partnerships for us is part of the logic of working with people who are already established to bring the benefit of sound financial advice to a large population. So when you do that with Zurich, and Zurich has made it available to everyone in Malaysia, you have the chance to impact as many lives as possible. Second, we recognize that we try to do what we do best, but also partner with people who can complement what we do so that you as a consumer, or you're my family or friends, you can really at the end up doing what is good for you. So our job for us is not to provide the best product. That's not what we do. What we do is to help digitally consumer and company like Zurich and the agent who represent them to really get a better solution for their life, something which is benefiting them. So working with really established players in the market help us to reach out to a larger population, help those companies to really serve more people and to serve their client better, and to provide innovative engagement that's going to lead for them to higher sales and for their consumer to a much better place. And so that's kind of the idea. We always see ourselves as an enabler in the industry, where we put the consumer, the advisor, and a company like Standard Chartered and Zurich together and make it easier to engage. On the interesting stuff that's happening is, while we are based in Singapore, we have always, our objective has always been to bring our innovation not only in Asia, but in other locations. And so we're exploring works with other institutions in Europe and in USA. And I think this is one of the things which I personally feel very, it's one of our mission as a company, is to really help bring the benefits of sound financial advice to many people. And it means financial literacy, not like a book, but the ability to understand the consequences of your action, irrespective of your background. You don't need a degree, you don't need to be a scientist, you don't need to be a banker or an insurer. Everybody has the opportunity to educate themselves about their finance, understand how it helps them in their particular capacity. And I think for us, our objective at the end of the day is to make sure everyone has a chance to access this in a way which is as simple and free as possible.
All right. Thank you very much, Laurent. It's been a pleasure talking to you. That was Laurent Bertrand, the CEO and co-founder of Better Trade-Off. If you've missed any part of this conversation, just head on to astroawani.com. Look for Notepad over there. That's it for this episode. My name is Ibrahim Sani, signing off.